Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
The following is a Hoopball presentation.
Welcome back to another episode, another edition of Today in Sports Betting. It is I, your host, Devin Ellington, at DALE007 on Twitter. This is a hoop-ball.com presentation. We're at Hoopball Gaming, one Twitter, at Hoopball Tweets. We are dichotomous around here. We do fantasy basketball work as well. Aaron Bruski and Dan Vesperis, the founders of Hoopball, are multiple-time champions over within the fantasy basketball community. Really solid work in all sorts of basketball capacities. Got a really, really, really good show today. Going to talk a lot of Fun Belt. Going to do about half of my article that's going to go up on hoopball.com, hoop-ball. Then I'm going to talk a little bit, obviously, first and foremost, the World Series. I need the Rays to get a win tonight to push it to seven games so they can win that seventh game, and then I can cash an 85-1 futures of an exact series finish bet. Rays in seven. On top of the 60-1 futures ticket. So, could be fun. Before we get into all of that, what needs to be said and what needs to be talked about is our sponsor, Manscaped. Go over to manscaped.com and check out the Lawnmower 3.0. Just came out. It's brand new technology, fully electric, and it's waterproof all the way through. Then you're also going to get 20% off free shipping if you use HOOPBALL20 as the promo code, HOOPBALL20. But do not stop there at the Lawnmower 3.0 because there are other fine gentleman's amenities for shaving, aftercare, pre-care. Maintenance, all sorts of stuff, even some briefs, air wickening, whatever it is, moisture wickening. Manscaped.com, promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20. Do it. So, like I said, first and foremost, we have some things to talk about in regards to the World Series. Got Blake Snell on the mound. And he is going to be pitching up against Tony Gonsolin. This is a big game, obviously. The Rays are coming in, backs all the way against the wall. But, they're still playing true and consistent with who they are. Rough game was last game was really rough. But, you know, they're not scared of a challenge, in my opinion. And then you've got guys that can just completely spark both offensively and defensively at any moment in Aranzana. And then you've also got Brandon Lowe. You know, they've got some pretty deep pieces all the way down to Hunter Renfroe. Real nice defensive player. So the spot that I'm going to be looking at in this one, you know, the Rays have already had success against Tony Gonsolin. You know, recently in this World Series. So why not go back to the well? I'm already betting on the Rays to win the dang thing. So I'm going to say first five Rays is definitely something I like. It's minus 105 right now. I like that. And, you know, here's why. Blake Snell gets roughed up, but he'll get roughed up, you know, fourth, fifth time through the order. So, you know, there's the anomalies and the, you know, the slip-ups here and there, but historically speaking, Blake Snell is usually a pretty solid pitcher through first two or three times of the order. So I don't know how I feel about a total play in this one, but I'm going to lean the over because I can see the Rays getting their team total, which I believe is 3.5 pretty early in this game. 3.5 sitting at minus 120 right now, and the total is 8.5 shaded to the over. Got pretty good odds if you search around on both sides. I'm seeing anywhere to minus 105 to minus 110 for over 8.5, and then I'm seeing anywhere to even money to minus 105 on the under. I said the over would be in play in every game in this World Series, and I believe it's hit every game. I will fact check myself while I do this show on that because, as y'all know, I don't like giving incorrect information out. So my thinking is the over is going to be in play, especially early, especially for the Rays because of Gonsolin. I hope that they can continue this thing and, you know, we can get to an exciting Game 7 in the World Series. That would just be dynamic and electric. It would be fun. The core of the order needs to get rolling for the Rays early. Like I said, early is the key. If they get Blake Snell 4 runs, that's going to be a dang good thing. Hopefully that's what happens. But yeah, once lineups are locked in 100%, I would definitely suggest making sure you are fully aware. We are about a couple hours out, so lineups should be actually out there and pretty publicized. So with that being said, Rays first 5 for me on the money line. And then I also like the over 8.5. And let's go Tampa Bay Rays because I need them to win to keep this thing going, to keep the train a rolling. So recap some Monday Night Football from last night. It was not very friendly. As y'all know, I was pretty heavy on the Bears. And, you know, we have those nights. The only thing I was right on was probably, you know, was the under. Looked at the first half under, but didn't take the stab. But it did hit. But, you know, you live and you learn. You do, you do. It's on to today. And I got some bets with the Rays that I like, so we'll see how those play out. Tail or fade, best of luck. So to dig heavily more so into some college football, I did a little bit of a first look yesterday, put the article out, still up on hoop-ball.com. You can check out all my other articles on there as well. And I pretty much just post my notes and my articles on my Twitter anyways. Again, at DALE007 or at hoopballgaming. What that means is I'm running through the Sun Belt, excuse me, in its entirety for week 9. So I'm going to preview every game in an article. And I figured I'd start with 2 or 3 games, probably 2. I want to talk about some other stuff other than Sun Belt. Not that I don't like the Sun Belt. We know I'm a huge proponent of it, a.k.a. Fun Belt. But there's some other exciting college football games. Got a Friday night parlay I'm thinking about. But the first Sun Belt game is on Thursday. Southern Alabama going on the road, getting 5.5 points against Georgia Southern. And my first thinking here is, why is Georgia Southern giving Southern Alabama so many points? They have a 3-2 record, just like USA, as their abbreviation does. And this line opened at 6.5, so it's come down a point. Over under 51.5 and opened at 53. So this is expected to be a closer game, you know, based off of the movement on the line. I've got a couple plays here, but, you know, first and foremost, the wins for Georgia Southern, they haven't really beat anyone. They haven't. Their 3 wins have come against UMass, who wasn't even supposed to play the season, and they probably shouldn't, and they should probably get put down to FCS because, man, they are atrocious. And they were last year. I don't think they won a single game last year. I think their average loss number per game was like close to 30 points. And then ULM, you know, Louisiana Monroe, which is at the bottom of the Sun Belt. They have an exciting quarterback, but we see him throw a lot because they give up 21 points in the first quarter almost every game. And then Campbell, who is in the FCS. So those are their three wins, the Campbell Camels. So I don't think the competition that the Georgia Southern Eagles have seen so far is equivalent to what Southern Alabama has, because they are a well-rounded team. One issue that I have and one concern is that they will more than likely be down their best offensive lineman in Jacob Shoemaker. Real experienced guy for him, real smart kid, real good player. And then I already talked about the wins, but the Eagles also just lost to Coastal Carolina against their second string quarterback. So, and then Coastal Carolina, you know, as we know, they're ranked, and I'm a huge proponent for the Chanticleers, but, you know, it just, they puttered out at the end of the game, and you could tell it was because of talent and depth. So, on their end. So, I really like Southern Alabama to get things going. Plus 5.5 points for me this college slate on Thursday. I'm also looking up to take a stab with them on the money line at plus 175. I just believe they match up really well. They have pretty talented linebacking play. They got some exciting guys at linebacker. So I like my linebackers and my defensive ends. But that's how I feel about this game. Jaguars plus 5.5. Money line plus 175. I'll take it. Then the other four games are on Saturday. But I'll just go ahead and talk about one. And that is about those Chanticleers and that second string quarterback that I was just talking about. But now I'm going to talk him up. We're talking about Fred Payton. Chanticleers still ranked. I'll pull up the current and most new rankings here just so I'm not misspoken. I wonder if they moved up at all. But they're going on the road at Georgia State. Laying 3.5 points. Even with Fred Payton in there and without Grayson McCall, I think that they are still a touchdown favorite better, in my opinion. I've watched a lot of this Chanticleers team. They moved up to number 20. They are 5-0. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to downplay the loss of Grayson McCall. He's a freshman. He's come in. He has a QBR of 190.2, I believe it is. Hardly any turnovers. Leads, he's top five in a ton of different quarterback metrics as far as, you know, QBR and completion percentage, turnover to touchdown to turnover ratio, and he's got really good vision. He finishes drives for his team. He puts the other players around him, you know, especially the running back Maribel, in positions to do really well. But the quarterback Fred Payton that's backing up Mr. McCall this year, he was the starter last year. So he had a full go of it. He's got a better defense with them this year. Better playmakers, more experienced. That offensive line unit is back. So, I mean, he knows these guys. He knows the system. You're not going to see a hiccup, I don't think. And, you know, his numbers last year, he had 14 total touchdowns, two of those being rushing, with a 63.6 completion percentage. And his QBR was over 140 at 141.2. Talked about the Chanticleers defense, and it's the best in their program history. You know, it's a dang good defensive unit that they have coming out. Look for the Chanticleers to keep rolling. People are going to jump off the bandwagon but that's not a smart thing to do because, you know, when bandwagons get rolling, they get rolling fast, and jumping out of a fast-moving transportation device is not advised in my book. So I'm going to stay on. I am. Georgia State, you know, their injury report is about 2.5 pages long. A lot of those guys aren't going to be on that injury report come said, you know, game day, but it's still a lot of guys, and they're not going to be getting, you know, all their practices in this week, so they won't be as sharp. Coastal Carolina, other than Grayson McCall, relatively healthy. They have one other guy on the injury report. So you cannot discredit good coaching. And that's what the Chanticleers have right now. So I'm going to move on to another college football game that I want to discuss as a, you know, another little look ahead to next, or this Saturday. Actually, let's talk about that Friday night thing I was mentioning. I'm looking at taking all four games and putting a parlay together. Well, now I'm seeing three. There was four. I believe one might have got moved because of COVID. But nonetheless, let's do a parlay with, and I'll tell you why. We're going to do a parlay starting with Marshall. They have one of the best defenses in the country. Their efficiency ratings on both sides of the ball, you know, offensively could be better. But defensively, they are very tough to even move the ball on. Not a lot of first downs per game. And, you know, Barry Stouch, just very all-around good team. And that is the game that was taken off the board. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so Marshall and Florida International was postponed. So the rest of the parlay on Friday night, and I'll dig deeper into these later in the week, but we're going to roll with Minnesota, Tulsa, Hawaii. Wyoming lost their starting quarterback last week in the, like, very early stages of their game. And I think he's going to be a big hit because it's going to take a toll on him. That kid was ready to bounce back after getting injured last season. So that was real stinky. Saw that live, and I didn't like it. Poor kid. So, yeah, that's the Friday night thought that got in the way of my smooth transition to a couple other Saturday morning games. But before I get into Saturday morning, let me just go ahead and talk about mybookie.ag, our other presenting sponsor on the show. Use HoopBall as the promo code HOOPBALL. That's going to get you a 100% initial deposit bonus match. You're going to get some great customer service, diversity as far as games and bets that you can play in place. So go check them out, mybookie.ag. Use promo code HoopBall. Let them know that Devin sent you, DALE007, whatever you want to call me. HoopBall. Is the promo code mybookie.ag. Bet, win, get paid. Heck yeah. So looking ahead, I, you know, prefaced Charlotte and Duke yesterday. So I'll just go ahead and talk a little bit more about that game. Duke has given them 10.5 points at home. You know, they are at home. But I don't understand why they're laying that many points. You know, Duke's a one-win team. They don't move the football. On top of that, that new offense that Mr. Cutcliffe is trying to roll out and force, it's not really working. Duke's going to be down 2, maybe 3, cornerbacks. Charlotte has 0 players on the injury list, so they're rolling out full strength. Charlotte has a pretty solid defensive unit. They're smart. They have experience. They played together, you know, most of them last year, most of the guys. So look for them to go ahead and get control of this game early. You know, just some offensive stat comparisons. Charlotte has 5.9 yards per play versus Duke's 4.8. Charlotte does allow 6.2 yards per play, though, on the defensive side of the ball. And Duke, I think Duke actually has a 37.93% third down conversion percentage for their opponents. Duke has a hard time stopping people from scoring in the red zone, though. They allow to score 83% of the time. Charlotte scores 86% of the time when they get down there, 86.67. Completion percentage, 60% for Charlotte. So, you know, it's I think what you're seeing on this market is small school. Small school versus, you know, ACC school. Here's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye out. Duke is, you know, running 83 plays per game. Charlotte's allowing their opponents to run 68. I wonder what numbers are going to mesh between those 2 points. Both teams allow over 7 yards per pass. This could be a very nice, fun game to watch. I would keep an eye out on it. Charlotte at Duke. I like the 10.5 for Charlotte. I wouldn't be shocked if they even beat Duke. So maybe a little spritz on the old money line at plus 275. That's not an official play, though. Charlotte plus 10.5 is. Coastal Carolina minus 3.5 is. Southern Alabama plus 5.5 and the 175 money line is. And then I gave some out yesterday on the show. Cincinnati minus 6.5. Going to talk an SEC game, which is very, very unlike me. LSU going on the road against Auburn. It's a Tigers on Tigers matchup. Both of these programs are slipping. But Auburn, I think, is getting a lot more lucky as of late. They've had, you know, that last-second win against Arkansas 2 weeks ago, and then now they had a last-second win against, who was it? It was Ole Miss. So, and then they only lost to South Carolina by 8. In between those two close victories that they should have lost. LSU is only a 3-point favorite. It opened at -1 to Auburn. So that was really weird. I didn't understand that opening line. But now it's gone all the way, like I said, to LSU -3. I locked in LSU -2. The over-under has gone up from 62.5 all the way to 65, which I'm going to follow the steam. I'm locking in the over 65 right now. I mean, these teams, like, you know, apparently they play defense in the SEC, but I haven't seen any of it this year at all. So if one of you are listening and you want to help me with seeing the SEC playing defense this year, you definitely DM me or whatever, you know, devinellington1992@gmail.com if you want. And then, you know, send me some clips or some stats or something. I'm sure I'm missing something, but, you know, eye test, you know, to me, the best defense in the SEC is Arkansas. I joke, but, you know, they've, you know, Kentucky, actually Missouri. Missouri's defense is sneaky good. Joking aside, you know, LSU lost a lot, but they did get a cornerback, secondary piece, who was supposed to be sitting out this year due to COVID. I decided to opt back in. So there's that. And since he's been back into the lineup, it's looked a little bit better for LSU. LSU's looked pretty bad also. Like, I'm not trying to dress one side up and not the other. But both teams are pretty even, around 75 plays per game. LSU's at 76, Auburn's 72. LSU's at 9 yards per pass, 14 yards per completion. And then Auburn allows 11.6 yards per completion. LSU, however, 15.6 yards per completion. Look for some deep plays in this game, guys and gals. Both teams have a real high completion percentage, and both teams allow, you know, at least a 61% completion percentage to the opposing team. LSU has a 43% third down conversion percentage for their opponents, 57% for Auburn. Advantage Bayou Bengals. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with the over 65. I like LSU minus 2. I was able to stay off of that key number of 3. So, yeah, I'm gonna roll with the LSU Tigers this week versus the Auburn Tigers. So let's pivot now to, you know, one or two NFL games. Got to get this podcast up in time for the World Series game. I'll talk, one that I think is going to be a fun one next week. Starting with the Denver Broncos hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers only opened as a 2.5-point favorite. It's gone up to 3. Over-under's at 44. It opened at 45.5. I think Justin Herbert is in a good spot now. You know, last week I took the Jaguars, and then he showed me something. So for the Chargers to be rolling like they are and Denver being as banged up as they are and people in and out, Anthony Lynn's still a really good coach. People forget that. Vic Fangio, not so much. Not so much. So, minus 165 on the money line for the Chargers, plus 145 for the Broncos. But, you know, it's the Chargers have a way better offense right now. And the Broncos are down so many guys. It's going to be hard to, you know, fill the holes, essentially. Just to throw some random stats out there, if that's y'all's thing, we'll go with some defense. We'll do opponent yards per play, see where both these teams line up. So the Chargers are actually ranked 15th, 5.6 yards per play. Denver's actually 9th at 5.2. So that's pretty close. That's pretty close. See who lets more first downs happen. Denver, wow. They're actually 5th in the league at 18.5 first downs allowed per game. Chargers, however, they're just down a few spots at 9. 20.3 first downs per game. Denver's got a pretty solid defense. You know, I'm not trying to short sell that at all. But the Chargers, you know, they're starting to get a little bit more healthy. Other than their backfield, they keep losing guys. But Denver's under 20 points per game, you know, and they're allowing 25.5 points per game to their opponents. Chargers, however, they're allowing 25.7. So this game is actually a lot more closer than I thought it would be as far as, you know, these metrics. Third down conversion, though, that's where the Chargers are doing pretty well. 47% versus the Broncos, 35.9%. both teams are actually solid on defense as far as opponent third down conversion percentage also. 39% for the Chargers, 34.52 for the Broncos. Pretty big advantage for red zone scoring percentage for the Chargers. There are some questionable tags. Brian Beluga still for the Chargers. Trey Turner, so a couple offensive line pieces. So if they get a couple of those guys in, or one of those guys, look for a good upgrade for them in that particular spot. And then the Broncos, you know, they've got some issues of their own on offense and defense. So Phillip Lindsay is questionable. He's in concussion protocol. Jeremiah Atacho, quadricep injury, linebacker. Tim Patrick, another offensive player, wideout, hamstring, big for position players. But folks, I think that about does it. Talked ad nauseam a little bit about some football. Felt good. Don't forget to check out the College Football First Watch article up on hoop-ball.com. I'm going to have the Sun Belt preview article for this week coming out in time for the Thursday game, which kicks it off. Going to have hopefully more World Series baseball to talk about within the next day or two, because that would mean my bets are alive. And hopefully all of yours are also. Hope to win some picks tonight and keep this train rolling, guys. Again, check out mybookie.ag with that promo code HOOPBALL, HOOPBALL, and that's going to get you a nice old fat deposit bonus of juicy proportions. And then over at manscaped.com, you're going to use HOOPBALL 20, HOOPBALL 20 for the promo code. That's going to get you that 20% off and free shipping. So we save you tax plus 10%, and then you don't have to pay for shipping. So it's like we're keeping Uncle Sam out of it for you. So anyways, again, you can find me on Twitter at DALE007. I'm Devin Ellington. This is a HoopBALL Gaming presentation, part of the hoop-ball.com family. Looking forward to the next one. Hopefully you are as well. I am sending you all of my good vibes and all of my good energies. Thank you again, folks, and we will talk soon. Enjoy.
This has been a HoopBALL presentation.